Let's get into the part that you really came for. Side number two. Procedure. The proper time to take challah is after the kneading process is complete. The ingredients have been formed into one unit. If one forgot to take challah at the proper time, you could take challah after it's been baked. Good. Number 10. An olive-sized piece of dough must be separated and burned from each batch of dough that has at least 2 pounds 10 ounces, almost 3 pounds if you want a quick way to remember. Regarding the amount of flour required for the recitation of the blessing, opinions vary from 3 pounds 10.7 to 4 pounds 15.2. If you, again, just want to remember it quickly, so from almost 3, we would already start separating, even though it's without a bracha. And when you approach 5 pounds, or hit 5 pounds, then we would take with a bracha. You know, I don't expect you to, I'm quoting from the Art School Siddur, you know, they document it accurately, but I don't expect you to remember that. I think it's much easier to remember 3 to 5 pounds.
That's the flour, not the dough.
Correct.
Okay.
The flour. Now, if you wanted to translate that into cups of flour, so the number of cups of flour that we would take challah from is approximately 10 cups of flour and up, and we would do that without a blessing. And when you approach 20 cups of flour, then we would start doing with a blessing, like 18 to 20 cups. Now, there's a lot of range there, I explained, for various reasons. One of them is very simple. Sifted and unsifted flour seem to come up with different readings. And, you know, there's a range. But if you have a basic idea, usually your recipes are definitively either so small that you're not taking challah, or still hitting the range that you're going to take challah without a blessing, or you're making your double recipe and it's so definitively over 5 pounds of flour that you just know you have to do a blessing. I know my wife generally, she doesn't bother thinking too much about it, because if she's using a 5 pound bag of flour, then she knows it's 5 pounds. Okay.
Well, some of the whole grain flours are a lot heavier, so
it's done by volume.
You go by the
really.
Cups, then.
It really, right? It really is calculated by volume. That's yeah. The truth. Okay, number 11. At the time that a person takes challah, he should say the blessing, who sanctified us with his mitzvahs, meaning you start with Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, and commanded us to take challah. To be fair, there are people who add on another 2 words, challah from the dough, min ha'isa. In Hebrew, it's 2 words, min ha'isa. But that's not the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's lahafresh challah. He should then declare, meaning after you've separated, you then declare, this piece shall be challah. And you make that declaration, and that makes it into challah. Now, obviously, again, in this one case, you really have to pay attention that you're not referring to challah as in what's going to be challah gracing your Shabbos table. Because then you just made the entire almost 5 pounds of flour into challah, and all you have to eat on Shabbos is your little piece. Pay attention. When you use the word challah in that context, you mean the challah of the mitzvah, the challah that's going to the Kohen or in our time gets burned. You're talking to that little piece. Hare ze challah. This little piece shall be challah.
Yeah. So you're holding that piece.
Yeah. Okay. And number 12, the final step of procedure. Since we are not ritually pure, and we're also not positive about the lineage of the Kohen, it's custom to give, to take the challah, and to burn it. And the custom is an olive size. Okay?
How do you burn it?
Very good question. So, the main thing is to separate it. That's the truth. The main thing to do the mitzvah so that you're not eating problematic bread is to separate the challah. Then, to fulfill the mitzvah of burning, you turn the oven on, preheat, and you flatten the piece of dough that you've taken off onto a piece of silver foil that's considerably larger than the piece of challah that you took off, and you let it burn in a preheat oven. You put it, let's say, on the floor of the oven and let it burn, not just brown. Now, the reason you flatten it is because if it's thin, it'll harden up.
Is that rabbinically suggested? Or?
The custom is to burn it. You have to be careful here. The taking it off is an obligation. The method of disposal, that you should burn it and then dispose of it, that's custom. So once it's burnt, you fold over the tin foil so that it's encased, because there's still going to be some dough that didn't burn totally. You encase it, and if necessary, it should be totally sealed. You could put it in a plastic bag after it's cooled, and then you could put it in the garbage.
So burying is not an option with this.
You could bury it.
Yeah.
You could bury it. But I'm not sure why you would go to the trouble. You know, as long as it's dignified disposal, it's fine. But we burn it first, burning it to the extent that reasonably can be burnt. You know, you flatten it so that you don't have inside a doughy mass. Okay. I'd like to do a treat and do the advanced parts of this as well. Number 13. If a person made two batches of dough from similar grains, you got to realize if you have rye and wheat and whatever, those need two separate mitzvahs of challah. You have to take separately from them. Some of them do mix, but generally that should be the rule. If it's two different types, you should keep them separate.
So you have to take two separate pieces and say the bracha twice?
Well, you don't have to say the bracha twice, but it's unlikely that people are doing two separate batches of this quantity at the same time.
Yeah, just because the size of the mixer,
example. Well, people sometimes make a whole wheat challah mixed with white flour, half and half, or something like that. So they have two different kinds
of flour. Well, those are still wheat. Aren't they both wheat?
Okay, so then what is this other?
So you have to ask. I'm just bringing it up as an aside. You have to ask a shayla, because there's a whole chapter in Shulchan Aruch how to handle different species. You have to be aware that there's such a question.
Oh.
You can't just take spelt and say it's going to count for the other. You know, I mean, you have to pay attention.
So if you want to make it with two different kinds of flour, you have to ask what to do.
Very often we just follow majority, but you have to ask, yeah. I mean, I can't make you a total scholar in all areas of Judaism in 1 hour. I just can't do it.
Try harder. He'll out there in 1 foot.
So you see what he did? He said, love your neighbor as yourself, and the rest is commentary. You see how well he did it. Okay. Okay. Again, similar grains, in which neither had the proper amount, but together they qualify. So then you join them. If you have dough protruding from the sides, it's overflowing sometimes when it rises, so you should tap it into the bowl so that it's all together, and then you have your 5 pounds together, and then you can recite your blessing. Number 14, if there wasn't the requisite amount at the time of kneading, but they were joined after baking, you might have this because some people have a bread maker and they decide that they're going to bake a bunch of loaves in their bread maker in the course of the week. They freeze them and then they serve them Shabbos. So a bread maker on its own doesn't have enough to require challah. But if you keep popping them in the back of your oven, in back of your freezer, until the freezer eventually is a container that is holding many pounds of flour in the form of bread. So at a certain point, you're going to have to take challah.